It's good to be here again. We were here last year, almost the same week last year. And last year we were here on Mother's Day, and so we get to speak on the subject of mothers, of course. And so this week we want to, or this year, we want to talk to you about families. Just to give you a little bit of background about who we are.
And we want to thank the pastors for inviting us.
Yes.
Your pastor, Daniel, for inviting us. And you all welcoming us in with such big hearts. Yeah? So let's go and see what God does.
We are Bob and Kelly Parr, and we were missionaries with YWAM in Penang, Malaysia for about 15 years. And so we're pretty familiar with Asian culture, and we love coming to Singapore, and we've been pretty much all over the region in the last years. Now we live in the United States, and we come to the nations, and so we're based back home in Florida, USA, and it's always a joy coming back. We miss char kway teow, sao hor fun,
durian,
and...
This is the king of durian here. He loves the durian.
That's why I wear my hair this style, because it looks like durian.
But you see, I think during this teaching, what I really sense is, one, you guys are incredible. Your abandonment in worship is incredible. And you guys are right at an edge. And there is going to be breakthroughs. You prayed for breakthroughs. Within the next 30 minutes, there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs take place. And I want you to look. You know, we're not your parents. We're not your moms and dads. But we have kids that are way older than you all. Our kids are in their 30s and 40s. And our kids have kids. And their kids have kids. So not only we are parents... We are grandparents and
great-grandparents.
Aww. And so, see, most of you all are like the ages of our great-grandchildren. But we're not your parents. But we just want to. We were talking. It's like we want to like sort of like model being parents to you guys. Okay? Will you let us do that? Just a little bit, just open your hearts and let's see what happens.
So you're probably wondering why I don't have gray hair. The fact of the matter is I barely have any hair. But what I do have hasn't turned gray yet, so I'm pretty happy.
And you
about
see,
that.
It's probably because in me, in my blood, I have American Indian in me. And so maybe I came and like chop, chop, chop Uncle Bob's hair and cut it off.
Back here.
So let's see what we have.
So we were all born. I have control over this.
No. I have control.
Okay, you take control.
Oh, no, I'm joking.
You got to point it that direction. Point it towards
okay,
the booth.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah, it worked. Every one of us is born with four basic emotional needs, and as you see on the slide here, security, love, affirmation, and purpose. And it's probably not hooked up to the audio. So.
Oh, there's supposed to be an audio on here. And you're supposed to hear the baby go, wah! Oh, there we go. Oh, we heard a little bit. Maybe we can hear it again.
It's all right. He's working on it. I can see. Oh, he's not. Okay, never mind. It's not that important.
Another one we have coming up, we'll have audio too.
We've all heard a baby cry before, and that's what actually the sound bite is. Wah, wah, wah. So, but if you see, there's an acronym there, Security, Love, Affirmation, and Purpose. The acronym is SLAP, SLAP.
Wow.
And so for some people, actually, we have to be careful with that one because some people have need inner healing for that from their childhood. They've been slapped. But actually, the way that we want to look at it is the SLAP that we're talking about there brings life. And that's what a doctor does when he holds a baby by the feet and the baby first comes out of the mama's womb. He gives it a slap, and what happens? Life.
The baby begins breathing.
Yeah.
Life.
And so we want to talk to you just a little bit about these four basic emotional needs that every one of us have. And the first one is security. And a little child generally feels secure when mom and dad love each other. Okay? And so when mom and dad are not arguing and throwing things at each other or throwing, you know, food on the floor or yelling and screaming, it causes a child's heart to feel comfortable because mom and dad are speaking words of love to each other, and it causes the child to life is predictable. They know that there's going to be a place for them to come home to after school. There's going to be food on the table, and mom and dad actually love each other.
You know, one time, let me tell you a little private story real quick. One time...
You sure you want to do that?
Yeah, because it's something I did. One time, our kids were in the back seat of the car. I want you to imagine you're in the back seat of our car. And Bob and I got sort of, I got angry with him. He's real calm. I sometimes get really excited.
We were actually in Bible school.
We were in Bible college, okay? And I got so mad at him that I had a...
McDonald's
hamburger.
Fish sandwich.
No, fish sandwich.
It was fish sandwich. I still smell it.
What do you think I did with that fish sandwich? What do you think? Wow, I threw it at him because I was so mad.
I was driving the car.
And I was so mad. I threw that fish
upside the head.
But if you were our kids in the back seat of the car, how would that make you feel? Would that make you feel secure? Come on. No, it doesn't, does it?
It would probably make you buckle up your seatbelt.
Yeah, it probably make you just a little bit afraid. So see, as kids, we all need security. Okay?
Love.
And then we need love. But it's the kind of love that's unconditional. It's the kind of love that no matter what you do, we're still going to love you. No matter what our kids do, we're still going to love them. It's that unconditional love. It's not that love with a hook. You know, sometimes we call love like love with a hook. And what that means is, if you do this, then I'm going to love you. That's love with a hook. If you get good grades in school, I'm going to love you so much, we're going to go get ice cream. No, that's love with a hook. It means if, you know what, if your grades aren't like maybe they should be, it's okay. I'm going to love you. I'm going to sit down and help you and bring security and love. And the next one
is affirmation. And this has to do with the words that are spoken to us when we're children. We need to hear words that build us up, not tear us down. And if we heard words that tore us down, it affects our emotion. It affects our self-confidence and our identity and who we really are. If our parents are uncomfortable with love, oftentimes they say things to us that they wish they could take back at a later date.
Let's think of something we've said to our kids. What have we said?
I can think of something my dad said to me. One time I brought home bad grades and my dad said, "You want to be a ditch digger? You want to dig ditches? You want to work with your hands all your life? Or do you want to work with your head?" And that made me feel a little...
How do you think that would make you feel? How do you think Uncle Bob felt when his dad said, "Do you just want to be a ditch digger your whole life?" How would that make you feel? I can't hear you. Huh? Doubt? Oh, dumb. Yeah. Like really dumb. Like so dumb. Maybe Uncle Bob, he can tell you one quick story that snip, 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 and what your dad called you.
Oh. One time...
He was about your age.
One time, it was summertime, and we weren't in school. And I was about probably 12 years old. How many in here are 12? Anybody in here 12? So I was about 12 years old, and it was summertime in the U.S., no school, and I was home alone. And I went in the bathroom, and I got to looking in the mirror, and I thought, you know, maybe I can make some improvements. So I got a pair of scissors... And my hair was, the style then was combing straight down and straight across. Kind of like yours, a little bit like yours.
Yeah. Except his was blonde.
Straight down and straight across. And so I took the scissors and I cut. Quack, 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 quack. Then I got to looking in the mirror and I thought, oh, that looks great. It's an improvement. Now I don't have to go to the barber. So then I thought, oh, my eyebrows, they're kind of bushy. I had really bushy eyebrows. So I took the scissors and I went quack, 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 quack. And I trimmed them up. But then this one didn't look like this one. So I went on this side and it was awkward. You know, I'm looking in a mirror and it was awkward. So I went quack, quack, quack. And I cut this one shorter than this one.
Oh.
So then I had to go back and make this one look like this one. And so I went quack, quack. Anyway, by the time I was done, it was terrible. And so that night when my family came home, I just put a baseball hat. And that night when my dad got home, he was having a meeting with his colleague at the table. And I went into the refrigerator, got a glass of water, and my dad heard me. And he says, "Hey, Bob, come in here." So I rounded the corner, and there's my dad speaking to his friend. And just as I was rounding the corner, I heard my dad say, "I want you to see what my stupid son did."
Oh.
And for me, being a 12-year-old boy, it cut to the heart. Because, you see, every one of us longs to hear our father say, "I'm proud of you." Wouldn't you like to hear your dad say he's proud of you? And instead, I heard the opposite, and it cut to my heart. It really hurt my feelings as a little boy.
And you know, we know that in a large group like this, each one of you come from a different family. Each one of you have different backgrounds. Each one of you perhaps were raised in different ways. And so we want, but somewhere, some along the line, we all have in common is we all had a mom give birth and we had a father. We might not know who our father was, which you'll hear my story here in a bit. And you'll hear a little bit of Bob's story. But we all have had a mom and a dad, or we wouldn't be here, right? And so affirmation is important. If you've had words growing up, or even like now, you're in the middle of growing up, if you've had words spoken over you like stupid or dumb or can't you do better than that or that's not good enough, if you've had, I would say that to my son, but if you've had words like that spoken over you, it will cripple your emotions. Even when you become an adult, you will have crippled emotions. But we're going to have some things take place tonight that's going to maybe break through in some of those areas. Yeah, because none of us, Bob and I, were not perfect parents. And we've gone to all of our kids. And so I don't think your parents were maybe they were better than Bob and I, but there's no perfect parent. And so affirmation is really important. Ooh, click, click, click. Nothing's clicking.
Maybe
I clicked up. Okay.
There it is.
And purpose. I wrote down here, you know, this is a dear friend of ours. And purpose, you know, it's a father that gives direction, that calls forth your destiny, and speaks purpose in your life. It's a father that does that. He calls forth your destiny. He speaks purpose, and he helps you give direction in life. And it's your mamas that give, you know, like when you fall and hurt yourself, who do you usually run to first? Usually a mom. Yeah, because it's a mama that affirms and brings comfort.
In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the very last verses in the Old Testament, it says, "In the last days, I will send the prophet Elijah, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and bring a curse." And you see, God planned and God knew that we would have relational issues between parents and children. He knew that. And so in his word, he promises that he will send help, that he will send a solution. And that solution is Jesus. That solution is the Father, our Heavenly Father. And that solution, in order to see that come to pass, there are some things that have to take place in our lives. And in just a bit, we'll tell a little bit of testimony of how God is bringing that to pass throughout the nations. We see it in every nation that we go to.
Yeah. And so you see, as Bob and I, you know, we're going to be doing the four-day school next week on the Father Heart. And in the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so we're going to be speaking to a lot of the parents, and maybe some, I'm sure a lot of singles too. But and we're going to give our stories, because there's no perfect family. And we hear you guys are going to maybe go to, I think, a family camp coming up. And so we wanted to give you a good foundation before you kick off to go to this family camp. And so we're going to talk about, we're just going to briefly, because of time, go over six basic families. Oop, there it is again. I think Bob has the magic touch.
Yeah.
And so you see, every child, all of us, when we're born, we needed, what do we, what's the SLAP? What was the S? Security. L. Love. A. Affirmation. And P. Purpose. And we get that from our moms and dads. That's how God created family. But sometimes that doesn't always happen. And we're going to unpack this just a little bit and show you six different types of family systems. And we all come from one of them, and maybe it's a mix of some, okay?
But you see, it's that expressed love that changes our lives and changes our hearts. It's easy for someone to say, I love you, and for those words to just fall to the ground. Today, I was just give you an example.
Today.
I'll give you an example of that. Today, my wife was getting ready for tonight, and she had just put her makeup on, and she had her glasses off, and she was walking through the bedroom, and I said, "Whoa, you have beautiful eyes."
But you know what I said back? I said, "Oh, words are cheap." I said, "I know anybody can say my eyes are pretty."
She words wants are... my money. That's what she wants.
No,
she wants. My...
she wants. No. How about? I wanted him to not just tell me with words, because to me, sometimes people don't. They say nice things, but you know, they make promises, and maybe it doesn't really happen. That was sort of where I came from. So I really wanted him to say, "Oh, your eyes are nice." Say to me.
Your eyes are nice.
Yeah. And then maybe come give me a kiss.
Oh.
Oh. Then maybe I would believe him a little bit more. Just that extra little touch.
It takes that touch. It's that expressed love that changes our hearts.
So
it really
not just,
speaks to our hearts about love.
So, Chris, when you get married, you must not just say words to your wife, but you must also come and give a touch. Okay? Don't forget that. So see, it's that express love. When Uncle Bob says, not only are my eyes look pretty, but when he maybe kisses me on the cheek or gives me a hug, oh, that's express love. That's going to change everything. Yeah? So let's look at these six family systems. What are you doing?
I'm expressing love.
Okay, well, I'm over here. Okay, so six family systems.
Okay, so the six family systems we're going to talk about are healthy families, performance-oriented families, passive families, authoritarian families, abusive families, and divided families. Okay, and so we will quickly run through this.
We want to honor your all's time here.
Go ahead, sweetie
pie. Okay. No, you're supposed to do the first one.
Hmm?
You're supposed to do the first one.
Okay. In a healthy family, mom and dad love each other. They're good at expressing security, love, affirmation, and purpose to their children and to each other.
Huh? The SLAP.
The SLAP, the security, love, affirmation, and purpose. This is in a healthy family. But there's no perfect family on earth. Don't kid yourself. You see it on TV. You see some of the programs. There's no perfect family. Every family has their issues. And so there's no perfect father, no perfect mother, only one. And he's our Father in heaven, and he is perfect. And he's loving us with a perfect love. And he's always there.
Oh, and then keep in mind, too, we're not dishonoring family, okay, by talking about different kinds of families. That's part of honor. You know, the honoring part is telling the truth. And so when Uncle Bob and I had to really unpack What kind of families did we come from? Because when we got married, oh, we had really difficult backgrounds. And so when we got married, then we brought all that into our marriage. You know, and then we started acting like our parents did with our kids. You know, I would begin scolding my kids. And so there's no perfect family. So we're just sort of unpacking so we can see where we come from. Because we all want breakthroughs. You guys cried out for breakthroughs tonight. And this is the core, you know, the Father Heart message, the family message is core of who you are and where you've come from. And so healthy families, the next one. Oh, maybe some of you can relate to this. This is the family that says, oh, that's not good enough. This is the family that says, oh, how did you get just one B? You should have straight A's. Do you know, one time my son was at Dalat School in Penang, Malaysia, and he was your all's age. And he came home with how many F's?
Josh, you talking about our son, Josh?
Yeah. He came home with...
I think they were all F's.
His report card was really bad. And we had tried everything with him. He probably was like 13, 14. We tried everything with Josh. Everything. So we're like, Bob and I talked, okay, let's do some reverse psychology maybe. And we told Josh, we said, Josh, you know, like say if you're our son. We said, Josh, look at this report card. Now we know you can do better, but we are going to celebrate all your F's. And
we're going to celebrate your last F.
This is going to be your last F you're ever
going to
get.
So we're going to Baskin and Robbins ice cream.
We're going to go get ice cream.
And we're having ice cream for your grade card that has all the F's on it.
Because this will be your last F you'll ever get. And we went and he got big, I think the volcano, you know, with all the ice creams.
And then the next year?
Oh, do you think that was his last F?
No.
It didn't work. But you see, performance oriented. Sometimes we come from a family that's very performance, and they set the bar so high that you're never going to reach it. But perhaps that's where they came from. You know, the bar was set so high for them, and they struggled to reach it too. But our parents really love us, but they want to set the bar high. But sometimes it's a really heavy bar to carry. Yeah.
And then there's the passive family. Oh. And that's the family that there's hardly any emotion shown.
No emotion.
It's hard for love to be expressed in that family because no one's really in touch with their emotions. They're not angry, but they're not full of joy either. And so pretty much everyone just goes along and does their own thing, and love is never expressed there. Well, if love's not expressed, then love can't really grow.
Oh, and that's so good. It's that's good.
That's good. That'll
that's the first
preach.
Time. Ooh, that's the first time I heard.
That'll preach.
Oh, maybe I should give Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. Give Uncle Bob a kiss. That was good.
Okay. The next one.
I think he's shy.
Oh. If I give you the word, I want you to exit my building to the left and hit the deck running. I want you to fall in on those yellow footprints with your body at the position of attention. No lollygagging around my area. Head nine straight forward. You understand me?
Yes, Daddy.
I didn't hear you.
Yes, Daddy.
Yes, Daddy.
Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. So some of us grew up in a family.
Listen again.
I want you to exit my building to the left and hit the deck running. I want you to fall in on those yellow footprints with your body at the position of attention.
It's okay.
My area. Head nine straight forward. You understand me?
Yes, Daddy.
I didn't hear you.
Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy.
Okay.
You see, when we asked our kids, Bob went to all of our kids and he asked them, out of all of these family systems and father types, what kind of a dad was I? Whoa. Every one of our kids gave a different one. But one of our daughters said, Dad...
That was you.
That was you.
And I got down on my knee to my daughter, and I said, Jonna. Jonna.
Okay, you're Josh. You're our kids.
I said, would you please forgive me for being that man to you? And Jonna looked me in the eye and she said, I forgive you, Dad. And we both began to cry and weep because of my inability to express love to her. Instead, I expressed that to her. And you see, that ruined her emotions. It affected
her
emotionally.
Huh? It crippled her.
Yeah,
it
crippled
stunted.
Her. Mm-hmm.
She was afraid of him because he was so he was just like that militant. And he was in the army, so he was everything had to be done just correct from the time they woke up to the time they went to bed. Does he look like he would be that kind of a dad? No, he was.
Jesus changed me.
Okay, let's get to the next one. The next one is abusive. And you know, abuse can come in many ways. And this is probably, I don't know, you know, we talk about, have you ever heard of like the elephant in the living room? Have you ever heard of that figure of speech? Some have and some haven't. What that means is you have a huge, big, like elephant in the living room, a fake one. And it's about things that happen in our homes that we don't talk about. So that elephant represents secrets. That elephant represents, we don't talk. Like, you know, for Bob, his dad was an alcoholic. Well, he didn't go tell all his kids, his friends at school. And he would come home and it would be like that elephant was there.
All of my brothers and sisters knew that my dad was an alcoholic, but no one dare said anything about it. We lived with that secret. And we didn't tell the neighbors, we didn't tell the in-laws, the grandparents, we didn't tell any, we just never talked about it. But my dad drank, he started drinking the year that I was born, and he finished drinking, he stopped drinking about 10 years before he passed away. And so all of my childhood growing up, my dad was an alcoholic, and it was really painful for me because I really longed to have a dad, and he just wasn't around. My dad wasn't angry or mean. He was just not there most of the time. And so it was damaging to me emotionally as a young boy growing up.
And
so we'll talk about that here in just a minute, though, but that's a good foundation for you to know about my childhood.
Yeah. And from my childhood, my dad and mom divorced when I was 2. And so I wasn't really raised with a dad most of my years. It was just my sister and I and my mom. But my mom would always say that a man would walk by and I would like, Daddy, Daddy. I would call everybody that walked by, Daddy, Daddy. You know, because as a little girl, I longed. You know, there's something in us that longs for a father. You know, there's something in us that longs for a mom that we can have that can hold us and nurture us. And for a father that will be there for us and call forth our destiny and help us mature and grow. My dad wasn't there. And my mom did the best she could. She worked hard hours. She cut hair. And I remember as a little girl, I would go with her to work. And Bob Parr, I'm trying to be serious.
Go ahead.
No. So I can remember going to work or with my mom, and she'd pay me a dime for me to sweep the hair from around the chair when she would cut the lady's hair. And so that was me. If I was sick, I would have to go sleep in the back of her shop, you know, while she worked, because she was a single mom. And so that left a big void in me. And I'll tell you a quick story. Oh, I can just do it right now on the divided one.
Okay.
Yeah, on the divided family. And so I remember, you know, growing up, okay, so my dad wasn't there. I saw him off and on, maybe as a teenager. He would come around and look. He didn't pay child support. He wasn't around. I became very rebellious. I became very angry. I became very frustrated. Now I can look back and think, oh, because I lacked that fathering in my life. I would go looking for love, the right thing, but in all the wrong places. I got into drugs. I got into a lot of trouble. And I was looking for that love, that security, love, affirmation, and purpose. And even though my mom was doing the best she could and gave me what she had, that still didn't take place of my father. And so I remember as an adult, he died 2002, I think it was. It's in my Bible. He passed away. And I was in Penang, Malaysia. And I was out on my walk, and my mom had called me and said, Kelly, your biological father has got cancer, and he's going to die. Maybe you should think about flying back to the U.S. and seeing him and, saying your goodbyes. And I'm like, what do you think I thought? How would you feel? What do you think I thought? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that. like this. And I was out on my walk over in Penang next to our condo, and I was walking like this, and there was a Chinese man. Act like you're the Chinese man. You're walking by me.
How do I act like a Chinese
man? Sure. Walking, and I told God, I said, you see that Chinese man over there? If he died, why would I want to go to his funeral? I'm like, I don't even know him. And that's what I said. I said, God, my father, I don't know him. Why do I want to pay lots of money to fly back to the USA when I don't even know him and go to his funeral? And do you know what God spoke to me? I even went back to that spot last year, and I stood in that spot on that trail. And I thanked God for what he's done in my life. Because God spoke to me. He said, Kelly, your father didn't teach you how to live life. But your father gave you life. And I want you to fly home. And I want you to honor your father. He didn't show you nothing about life. He wasn't there for you. But he gave you life. And so you go honor your father. And I did just that. And that's another whole big story, what happened. I'll share that next week at the school. But another big story happened when I showed up at his door. And tears began flowing when he saw me. Because I'm an adult woman now. And he wept and wept and wept. And then the story continues next week. Okay?
So let me just say this about now you know a little bit about both of our backgrounds as our childhood growing up. And for me, what happened between my dad and I, as I got a little bit older, as I came into my teenage years, I began to look at my dad and I began to judge him. I was angry because I didn't have his attention. I didn't have his, I didn't hear words of affirmation from him enough. He had some, but not enough to heal me. I didn't sense his love because he was gone so much of the time. And there were just so many dysfunctional things about our family. And so I began to point my finger at my dad. And how many of you, your moms and dads, have taught you that if you're pointing your finger at someone, you have three more coming back at you? You heard that before? It is so true, and scriptural background for that is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment that you judge, you will be judged. And so what happened was, I'm pointing the finger at my dad because he's alcoholic, and I became a drug addict. You see, I became worse than my dad because I'm judging him, and it came right back to me. And I became just like him, only worse. And so, what we're talking about today is how important it is to be able to let go those things that have offended us, even in our young years, especially for you folks that are young. I'm 62 in August. Okay, I'll be 62 years old. And you guys are just starting your life, and you're looking at school, and you're looking at your career in the future, and those type things. If you can get this that I'm giving you, that we're giving you tonight, if you can get this at the age that you are now, wow, you will be so much better for it, because you will free your heart from a lot of pain and a lot of years of struggle. Emotionally.
And perhaps you're the one that came from the healthy family, right? But we already know there's really no perfect healthy family. But what we're, Bob and I are going to challenge you to do, I think you're going to play that CD? Is that what you're doing?
Not yet. We have one more slide.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Ah. There it is.
Oh, we do have one more.
Several years ago, that's me in the picture, by the way.
And so, that's Uncle Bob jumping.
Several years ago, our daughter called us, and we were in Guatemala, I think, or Peru, I can't remember.
Okay.
And she said, "Dad, Mom, it's my birthday. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going skydiving." And I said, "Not without me. Wait till I get home. I'm going with you." I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to jump out of a perfectly good airplane with a parachute on.
Hurry up.
So anyway, as we got all the way up to the sky, I had to go through a lot of training and all that before they'd let me do that. But as we climbed up to the altitude, we were like 1.5 kilometers up in the air. You can see how far it is to the ground. And I wiggled my way over to the doorway, and the instructor was there, and he says, "Okay, you know how to do it, and so there's a certain way you got to get out of the plane, and you put this hand over this hand." By that time, I'm holding on, and my feet are flying in the breeze. My feet are flying in the breeze. We're going 80 miles per hour. The propeller is blowing in my face, and I'm looking down, and that's what I see, is the people look like ants. Cars look like ants. And so I'm holding on with everything. And that's where a lot of us are with our hearts. We're holding on to issues, unforgiveness. People have offended us, or our parents have said things that hurt us, or done things that hurt us emotionally, or not done things that didn't fill us. And so I'm holding on like that. And my instructor said something to me. He says, "Are you ready to skydive?" And I said, "Do I have any choice?" I'm out on the wing of a plane, and we're that high in the air. And he said two words to me, and this is what we're saying to you tonight. Let go. Let go. I want to tell you, I was scared to death to let go. Because I was secure holding on. And I didn't know what would happen as soon as I let go. I had never done that before. But as soon as I let go, they told me, "Get in this position." I thought, well, that's like worship. You know, you can see it. My hands are spread. Like, they do that so you don't get tangled up in your chute. And so I went into the worship position. I'm like this. And I went down for, it seemed like forever. And all of a sudden, my chute opened up. And I felt this whoomph. And pretty soon, it was like I was a bird flying, like an eagle. It was like I was an eagle, and I had control of my direction. And so if I pulled down on this side, I could go this way. If I pulled on this side, I could go this way. And I tell you what, I don't know when I've experienced more freedom, the feeling of freedom physically, than flying through the air like that, until I came down and I made a perfect landing on my feet. And it was awesome. It was excellent. But I had to let go. And I promise you tonight that if in your heart, if you have some areas in your heart that you're holding on to, unforgiveness from your parents or from
a sibling,
family members, maybe auntie, uncle, anyone, let go. Let go and just give it to God, and just pray for them. Just bless them. Bless them that God will bless them, because He knows how to bless them a whole lot better than we do.
And it might look like, you know, for Bob and I, we went to our parents and we asked their forgiveness for rebelling when we were in our teen years. Or it might look like you going to your parents, right? Or it might even look like maybe you writing a letter. Or if you don't know your parents, it could be writing a letter and then just crumbling it up and tossing it just in order to get that out. It could be, if you came from the good family, it might be going to your parents and say, "Oh, thank you for all the meals that you've given me. Thank you for the clothes that you've put on my back." You know, saying a huge big thanks. So it's going to look different in each one of our lives.
For my dad and I... when we were in Penang, I was already a missionary. I was already 40-something years old. And I realized that I needed to let go of some of the things that I held against my dad. And so my dad was living in America, and I'm in Penang. And I wrote him an email. And in my email, I said, "Dad, my childhood years were a little bit difficult because of the issues, your drinking problem and stuff. And I said, but I never realized why you were drinking. You see, my dad, when he was 20 years old, my grandfather had some mental problems, and my dad took him to the hospital. Yeah. And so because of that, my grandfather got angry with my dad, and he said, "You're no longer my son." So my grandfather disowned my dad at the age of 20, and because it was so emotionally painful, my dad started drinking at the age of 20. And I never realized it until I was 40. And so I said, "Dad, please forgive me for judging you all those years." You see, I was the child, adult child, coming to my dad and saying, "Dad, would you please forgive me for judging you?" And my dad wrote back and he said, "Bob, I forgive you for judging me." He said, "I feel like I need to ask you to forgive me for the way your childhood years went, your teenage years went. I wasn't there for you so much. Would you please forgive me?" You see what just happened? I asked my dad to forgive me for judging him. My dad asked me to forgive him. So what happened to our relationship from that point forward? When my dad passed away, I cried. I miss my dad. I love my dad. He was doing the best he could
with what he had.
And he was just a wounded person. And he loved me. He just was hurting inside. And so he wasn't doing those things on purpose. I would bet that your parents, regardless of if they hurt you sometimes with words or with actions, I promise you, I guarantee you, they love you from the depths of their heart. They love you. They just don't know how to express it so well. So please think about forgiving them and just letting them go. It's really for your heart health more than it is for their heart health. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us with a perfect love. And we'd like to open up the altars for anyone that would like to respond tonight. If something that we said touched your heart or brought to your remembrance some pain that you had in your heart and you want to unload that tonight. I believe that Father's here tonight, and he says that you can cast your cares on him. You can cast your burdens on him. And so it's been our experience that when Father pours his love into our hearts, any pain that we have in our heart is displaced. In other words, the love comes in and the pain goes out. And so we'd like to invite you to come. If you have any other prayer needs, you just come forward and let Auntie Kelly and Uncle Bob minister to your heart.
I think there's some others too that can help pray.
Father, I just want to release, Lord, so much of your Father's love, Lord, over the auditorium, God. Lord, I pray that for every single individual today, Lord, Father, will they know that there is a good, perfect Father who is perfect in all his ways. God, that all of us can trust in you. Lord, we can trust that you are the one, Lord, Father, that holds the pieces of our life together. God, I release everyone who has to leave, Lord Father. I pray that for them there will be a week full of security, love, affirmation, and purpose, Lord, in their life. Everything that Bob and Kelly shared with us, God, this week will be a week that we have experience that. That we will have an experience in that. So I commit everyone into your hands. Father God just says that he loves you. That he loves you unconditionally, and that he desires to spend time. That he desires to just pour out his heart to you. That he just pours all of his emotion, all of his love over you. And that he just yearns to spend that time with us. So, you know, just go back from this week and remember that, you know, that there's a Father for you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right, for those of you who are in your seats, you guys can leave. Service has ended, but please leave quietly for the people in the front to continue being ministered to.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.